Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
John Heyman, insider for MLB Network.
Chicago is watching carefully, no question about it.
New York Post columnist, Curb Your Enthusiasm enthusiast.
You hate people.
Well, I hate people individually, but I love mankind.
John Heyman with Mully and Haw.
I'm going to endorse the point where I say you never know with the Cubs, but I'm going to retract the I like the White Sox.
On 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Always a delight to talk to the great John Heyman. He joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo Tires, your hometown tire, aturo.com. John, good morning. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Doing well.
Yeah, we had a preview of the World Series over the weekend, but I guess the Tigers have better starting pitching than the Cubs. One of the conclusions that Schuble pretty good, but the White Sox have been revived and they've been sold, and there is joy in Mudville for the first time in a long time.
Well, it's kind of a good news, bad news, right? It's sold, but not for a few years. So you're a very patient guy, Mully. I know you can wait out the extra 4 or 5 years, and things will get better. I'm sure that they will. And I think they're on the right track. It's going to go slow, as we've talked about, but I think they're heading in the right direction. They've got to be, right, after last year. And they're certainly not the worst team this year, so that's another piece of good news. So it's really been a big year overall for you, Mully.
Well, John, there's been some speculation locally, though, that with Justin Ishbia getting involved, the way it was described, paying down debt, helping with running team operations, infusion of capital, that maybe he'd be involved sooner rather than later, maybe before the years that were mentioned in the press release. What are you hearing around the league about Justin Ishbia and what his plans might be?
Yeah, no, I mean, my understanding is it's going to be a few years, but yeah, he's involved, more involved now, so maybe he's got some good ideas before he actually officially takes over, and right, it's possible we'll start to see some of those good ideas. Hopefully one of those good ideas is spending some more money. That would help to start, but you know, I think at this point they're so far away that they're probably a few years even from spending any real money.
What was your reaction when you saw that, John? Not necessarily the sale, but the timeline to the sale, which would be 4 years on the plus side, or I guess till 2034 if it doesn't work out as quickly as people hope.
Yeah, I mean, certainly creative, but not surprising in that I've been always been hearing all along that as long as Jerry is alive, he wants to be involved with baseball, and I know that his kids are more basketball guys, but he's always been a baseball guy, and I wouldn't have expected him to just sell outright now while he's, you know, still around and lucid. I know you guys might argue on that point, but he's doing well for about 90, and so I expect him to be involved in baseball while he's still with us.
John, looking at the Cubs-Tigers series, something that came out of it was, I think, not necessarily a new idea, but one that is very frustrating from the Cubs fan perspective and baseball in general. Umpires stink sometimes, and yesterday was an example when you had Derek Thomas with a quick temper and throwing Nico Hoerner out of the game. There was no profanity involved. And the day earlier, I think even more egregiously, Doug Eddings was bad behind the plate. There were so many noticeably missed pitches. And I know you look at it from a Cubs perspective, but what can MLB do? Is this a growing problem? The umpiring's terrible.
There is an answer.
I know there isn't. They're robot umps. When will they come?
Yeah, well, they've already overturning all the bad calls on the bases, so that's a positive. You know, these are the best umpires in the world, believe it or not. If you watch women's softball or something else or college baseball, the umpires are worse. You know, it's uneven even at the major league level. Obviously, they were able to get rid of Angel Hernandez. You know, he was so bad that they paid him off and figured it out. That's what happens if you're really bad in your job. They have to pay you a lot of money to leave. So that was a good move by him. These guys apparently are maybe just as bad, but in a quieter way, and they're not able to be rid of them. I do think it wasn't Eddings, a guy who helped the didn't he help with the Pierzynski call?
Good memory, John. Yes. 2005, he was the guy. Yes. Good memory, John.
You should be thankful for Eddings, but he's messing things up both ways forever.
Did.
So, you know, and this guy yesterday was a rookie, and he got his feelings hurt. You know, you're not supposed to argue at all, so technically he's not in the wrong. He's not going to be punished, but, I mean, you know, nobody's there to see any umpire, whether it's a rookie umpire or, a 30-year umpire, and he didn't really go crazy there. I think you've got to try to just let it go. Me, personally, I'd rather be cursed out than be told that I'm having a really bad day. But so I get it a little bit, but he's got to understand that nobody's there. They didn't pay to see him. They paid to see Nico Hoerner and the rest of the Cubs.
I thought that was funny. And as I said earlier, probably when Nico turns to him and says, "You're having a bad day," you are technically arguing balls and strikes. So the guy has the right to launch you. But what was great is they sent out where you hear him say, "You're having a bad day." And then he's thrown out. And then Craig Counsell comes running out. He was out of his mind. And Nico says to Craig Counsell, "I told him he was having a bad day." Like he explains himself to the manager before the manager could get to the guy. I just thought it was like the funniest thing. Like he was incredulous that he got thrown out for saying that.
Well, I Nico is a Stanford man, so he may be a little smarter than I am, but I would think that is arguing balls and strikes. I don't know. You could say he was giving an appraisal of his whole afternoon. He wasn't arguing that one play. I don't know. So I guess maybe he's saying he's not arguing balls and strikes. I don't know. I guess technically that makes some sense, but I do think he made a comment after a call that he didn't like, which was a ball or strike call. So it was pretty funny. But the umpire should have just let him stay in the game and just try to forget about it. That's part of the negative of the job. You have to take the abuse and understand that the crowd is not there to see you.
And yet, John, despite the umpiring, baseball seems to be, as you pointed out this morning, off to its best start in years in terms of popularity. Viewership up on all the national TV packages. attendance is up as it was last year. How do you explain the growth, seemingly, of the game? Is it because of the rules changes? Is it because of some other things? How do you explain that?
Well, the rules changes definitely help, not just us people with deadlines, but I think it's certainly, you don't want to see those 3.5-hour games that don't need to be. You know, there certainly is more action per minute, so that is a plus. We have some great, great, great young players. Scoobal, you mentioned before. Skeens, I mean, there are some terrific young players that people are interested in seeing. I mean, obviously, Ohtani is a phenomenon. Judge is an all-time great. You know, there's a super team with the Dodgers that everybody wants to see. And it's pretty good, especially since we have two teams playing in minor league parks. That's pretty good that attendance is up, the viewership is up. And I think it's all positive. I hear for the last 10 years, though, you know, football's king, NBA is passing baseball. I think NBA went down a little bit this year. Probably doesn't help that you've got two small markets in the final. That's no just bad luck for the league. But I do feel like baseball is back on the rise right now.
So, John, the White Sox made a trade of Garrett Crochet, and they wound up getting their starting shortstop currently, Chase Mydroth. They wound up getting Kyle Teal, who just got promoted to the MLB team. They got Braden Montgomery, and they got Winkelmann Gonzalez. But my only reaction over the weekend when I saw that home run from what is his name, Roman Anthony, it was like a 500-foot. I was like, why didn't they get Roman Anthony? I'm sure that was a lone thought. But I'm sure a lot of Boston fans were delighted to see that. That guy, I mean, that was an unbelievable at-bat.
Incredible. Yep, 497 feet, technically, grand slam. He's got a 900 OPS in the minors. Apparently, they just can't find room for him on the major league team. They are scoring runs, but Devers blocking that DH kind of clogs things up, but certainly did for Yoshida, who's probably a major league player, not Roman Anthony, but should be playing somewhere for somebody. And, you know, Devers is a great hitter, but, you know, probably should do what the team wants every once in a while. They weren't going to get Roman Anthony. I actually think with Teal, Montgomery, Mydroth, they did well.
Oh, they did, yeah.
You know, a year earlier, it was going to be like Gavin Lux and River Ryan, who's now hurt, not as good, not terrible, but not as good. I think they did pretty well. Roman Anthony, you know, he's one of those 5 or 10 players. He's just not going to be traded, you know. But they got to find a place for him, too. He's not helping them in the minor leagues, so they better find a place for him and soon.
And teams are finding ways to accelerate the path to the majors. We saw that in Kansas City last week. Jack Caglione comes up. He was the 6th overall pick less than a year ago, John, and he went 4-for-4. This kid seems to be ready. It has been criticized. We had on David Sampson the other day. He does not like that move at all for a lot of different reasons, but it looks like the kid can hit, and if he can hit, he's going to stay.
Oh, he's great. He's terrific. I mean, he just quite a slugger with the great Gators of Florida and pitched well as well. And, you know, I get it. I mean, the guy is a terrific, terrific talent. They're last in the league in home runs. They need power. He hasn't hit home runs yet, but he certainly looks like a hitter up there. And I do think he is ready, and I'm pretty sure that Roman Anthony is ready as well. So time for him to come up. His situation is a little different on a team that's scoring runs, and he's a little bit blocked. But you should see these fans are clamoring in Boston. If we're wondering about
sure.
it, just imagine what Red Sox yeah. fans are like about this.
You know, obviously we saw Scoobal against the Cubs and he was a monster. That guy's as good a pitcher as there is in baseball. And we saw Jack Flaherty have a really good start against the Cubs. The Cubs clearly need to, you know, like one of those, please. They need a guy like that, a guy that could be a kind of replace Justin Steele as their ace if he was that. Is that a realistic want on this in this market? And like, how much do you have to give up? You know, they got a lot of good young players, but if you, like, let's say for the sake of argument that Chris Sale somehow wound up as trade bait, what would you have to give up for a guy like that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I mean, obviously, Chris Sale won the Cy Young last year. He's hot again now. Yep. He's a borderline Hall of Famer, certainly a Chicago hero, as you guys know. So, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, he's not going to be a long-term guy at his age. So, you know, I still think you'd have to give up a top guy to get him, obviously, because that could affect the certainly World Series this year. Yeah, you'd have to give up a top prospect. I'm not sure that that he would go, though. I mean, you know, even though he loves Chicago from his days there, he is a kind of a Southerner, and he likes Atlanta. He was approved that trade, mm-hmm. and I think it's kind of up to him on that one. In terms of aces who will get traded, doesn't look like there's going to be a ton of them at this point. The best hope is probably if the Diamondbacks continue to flounder,
yeah.
You know, they've got Kelly and they've got Gallen, who are very good pitchers, maybe underperforming a little bit right now, but they are good pitchers. To get an ace, to get a number one guy in trade, I just don't see that happening. Skeens is not getting traded, they've said, and I kind of believe them. DeGrom, I doubt they would trade him. He's got years to go, so I'm not seeing that one. Now, he's got a huge contract as well, so that's something the Cubs may not love. So to get that kind of guy, I think, is not that likely. I mean, Shota's a pretty good pitcher. I mean, he's not Scooble, and there's only one Scooble. He's the best in the game,
right.
And Skeens is probably the second best, and he's not going anywhere. But I think Shota Imanaga is a true ace. I know he's not the hard thrower that a lot of these other guys are who are true aces, but I believe in him. I do think, looking at his record, that he is an ace, and when he comes back, their pitching, which has been fine, will be good. And with that lineup, they are a threat.
What about Zach Eflin?
Yeah, I do think the Orioles are, I mean, at this point they haven't decided for sure they're going to sell. I think they may sell. The Orioles are another team with pitchers. They have Sagano, who was one of their better deals this winter, 1 year, $13 million. So he's a free agent after the year, as is Eflin. I do think those guys will be traded. To me, I look at Eflin as, you know, in the Tyone, you know, three. He's a mid-rotation, good, solid starter who's going to give you a good start, you know, 80-90% of the time, but not a true ace at this stage.
It's kind of interesting to look at where the Cubs are headed. They're going to Philadelphia, and Philadelphia they've lost 5 in a row, and they've lost 9 of 10. What has gone awry with them?
They can't hit. I mean, now you got Harper out, which is a big negative when you can't hit. Shocking, because, you know, they've got good hitters on this team, right? Obviously, Schwarber was off to a huge start, guy you're familiar with. Castellanos, another guy you guys are familiar with. They got some ex-Cubs on that team, but they should be a good hitting team. But that is their issue. I mean, they've got maybe the number one pitching prospect still in the minors, and Painter is still there, but their pitching, by and large, has been good. Lizardo has had two rough starts after a brilliant beginning, but overall their pitching has been good, but they have not been hitting at all, and that has become an issue for them. I don't know what they can do, because Painter is the guy to call up, but that's not going to solve your hitting issue.
Cubs have been shut out twice in the last week. Should we worry, John?
No, I don't think they're the best hitting team. I think the Dodgers are the best hitting team. The Diamondbacks, who don't look like a playoff team, might be the next best hitting team. But I think they're in that next group with the Yankees and the Mets. I think they're in the top 5-6 in terms of hitting. I'll do a little advertising here. We have Jed Hoyer on the podcast. It will be out tomorrow, and I will certainly relay your question to him about their hitting lately. But I mean, I think they were over performing for a while, and that certainly Detroit is a very good pitching team. So I'm not going to read too much into that, but I'd put them in the mix, top five or six hitting team, not number one as they were for a little while. I mean, that Dodger lineup is ridiculous with the three Hall of Famers to start the lineup, and then at the bottom of the lineup, you got Edmund and Kike and other guys who are threats as well, Muncy. I mean, that lineup is not to be beat, but you can't blame them for not being able to match a team that spent $400 million. They should be good.
John, we'll let you go. Just curious on the way out, who right now looks like the biggest name that will be traded this year?
You know, I think it will be those Diamondbacks guys that I mentioned. At this point, they're under 500 in a very tough division. It's very unfortunate, the Burns injury, the fact that Montgomery is now out for the year. He was underperforming, certainly more than underperforming last year. Erod has been terrible for them. So I think they've got to sell, and they've got guys to sell, in addition to the pitchers, Kelly and Gallen, which I mentioned. They've got hitters. They've got Naylor, free agent after the year. Eugenio Suarez, third baseman, also available. So I think that's those are the two. And you guys mentioned Orioles too, right, with Eflin. So I think the Orioles and the Diamondbacks are the two teams to really keep an eye on for the clearinghouses of the trade market.
Great stuff, John. Thank you.
Thanks, John.
All right. Great talking to you guys. See you next week.
Yep.
That's our guy, John Heyman. Always fun to talk.
You got Jed Hoyer on the podcast this week. Maybe he can shed some light on some of the guys we just talked about. I don't know that Jed will tip his hand necessarily, but those are some decent names.
Should Jed say something like, I think we can get Mike Trout?
No. I don't think you want, I don't think you need Mike Trout.
I'm just joking.
Yeah. I think you need the pitching equivalent of a Mike Trout. You need somebody who might be past the prime, but still capable of putting together some starts that
it's got to be a pitcher.
Make an impact. It's got to be a
starting pitcher. No question.
Yeah, they may look to supplement the bullpen as well, but that's not the most pressing issue coming out of Detroit.
312-644-6767. Mullion Haw on the score.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, he pitched well. I thought he located the ball very well, kind of first time through the lineup. We created that one scoring opportunity. They made a nice defensive play again, frankly. That was really our opportunity. He was on, and we couldn't. After that inning, he kind of got back locked in, and no walks after that, really, and did a nice job.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. That's Craig Counsell talking about Cade Horton and the outing that he had. Gave up a couple of runs early and settled in and pitched pretty well.
The early runs, though, were the bad part.
Yes, they were.
First inning struggles. You don't know what that will lead to next. But I think that Cade Horton is a key guy to this season because of what the Cubs lack right now, and that is an ace. That is somebody who is the equivalent of either Jack Flaherty or Tarek Skubal on the Tigers. I don't think Cade Horton is that guy necessarily, not this year. He could be one day. I think it's fascinating to look at the Cubs' schedule, and this week, at the end of the week, it could be Paul Skenes and Cade Horton Friday at Wrigley Field. Now, that would be because Skenes pitched yesterday as well. And you look at the schedules and they align.
Look at so him. He's so happy. He's going.
If that aligns.
I'm going Friday and Saturday.
Awesome. Then that's a great time to be at the ballpark. If you're getting Skenes and Horton, you're getting, obviously Paul Skenes is one of the best pitchers, period, in baseball right now.
He's the best young pitcher in baseball.
Yeah.
Okay with that? That the Cubs might have to face another really good pitcher? You're not a big fan of that.
How am I not a big fan of that?
You were kind of hoping they were going to miss Skubal that.
Oh, I think you want to miss every big time pitcher you can if you want to win games. Yeah, the Cubs have had struggles against good pitchers in the last week. Yeah, if Skenes would have pitched Thursday instead of over the weekend, that'd be fine with me.
Well, I think no matter what, you're going to get Skenes. It's just a question of it's going to be Friday or Saturday, right?
When that's you say question. You're going to get Skenes. Are you talking about a trade?
No, not a trade. It's a four-game series, so they're here on Thursday. That's right. So it's a four-game series. Wow. You're definitely going to see Paul Skenes. And last year I made a special trip to the ballpark just to see him, so I get the attraction. Yeah, it'd be nice if the Cubs could face him, beat him, and move on. 2-1 would be fine. You take that.
Get to their bullpen, right?
Get to their bullpen.
Work a little magic.
Yeah, Pirates are bad, so you should be able to beat the Pirates. But it will be a fun matchup because, Paul Skenes is an attraction. Cade Horton is a curiosity right now. I think that yesterday was the first game the Cubs lost in which he started. So he has been very good, and yesterday he wasn't terrible. He's been consistent. You'd like to take him here's the struggle with Cade Horton for me. You'd like to see him take that next step. But by the same token, you don't want the Cubs necessarily to abandon caution and let him go without monitoring his innings. So what does that mean? Can you have it both ways? I don't know. I don't want to face a Strasburg situation where in September they get to the point where he's already used up all his innings and they're shutting him down.
Yeah, you want to avoid that. But, the reality is that you need him right now. And hopefully they do make a move and do get more pitching in here and Shota returns sooner rather than later. What is his status? He's in Arizona and he's going to pitch today. Is that right?
Yeah, tomorrow against Arizona Complex League game, something to that effect. Basically sounds like facing live hitting. And Bruce said end of the month. It's June 9th already. How long must we wait for this
end of the month?
That's a heck of a hamstring injury.
Yeah,
So Shota comes back. That will help the rotation. Ben Brown, the last two starts, Ben Brown has been outstanding. You know, that got overlooked Friday night. Scooble was Scooble, but Ben Brown matched him for much of that game. And I don't know that we went into that game with those kind of expectations, because it's a mismatch on paper. You got one of the best pitchers in baseball against a young, inconsistent right-hander with good stuff, great stuff on occasion, and he brought it on Friday night. So good for Ben Brown. That was encouraging to see.
Yeah, that was good. That was a good performance on his part. You still came away thinking, boy, they need a better pitching staff. They need somebody that can really take them to the next level. They need to redo that Sutcliffe
long trade. Season. Yeah. I think they made the Rick Sutcliffe trade around June 15th. I don't think they're going to be doing that this year on June 15th. I think we should check the archives. I think it was right around June 15th, the trade with Cleveland. Joe Carter, Mel Hall, wasn't that the deal for Rick Sutcliffe, I believe, if I remember correctly. But that was a trade, one of the best trades in Cub history.
Well, that was unbelievable how well he did and how much better they became and how he carried them almost through San Diego.
I think it was 16-1 that year.
June 13th, 1984.
Okay. I knew it
very
was,
good.
I knew it was right around that time. And so we're nearing that. But the trade deadline and
went 16-1, just to finish it up for you. It's 16-1 with a 2.69 ERA.
That's indelibly etched into my memory.
16-1.
He was unbeatable. He was unbeatable.
And he probably was going like 90 or 100 pitches
incredible.
Every game, right? Also.
And
there's so good.
Trades were made if June 15th stands out as a date that used to be the old trade deadline. Or maybe they changed it, but I think that there were a lot of trades made up until June 15th for whatever reason. By the way, Texter makes a good point. You know, all this, and I think it happened last time. You kind of made fun of me because of Paul Skeens, and I like Paul Skeens and all those things. The Cubs did beat him pretty good the last time out. They hit three home runs off Paul Skeens.
He's not infallible, and he plays for a bad team.
He bleeds. He bleeds! He's mad, not machine.
Okay, Cricket. Drago.
Does he not bleed?
Is this Drago?
Yes.
Is this Drago?
I think that's from Shakespeare.
Well, I wouldn't have gotten that. Drago's from Rocky Movie.
Okay.
Paul Skeens is hittable, and I just think that if he's pitching against you, you do respect what he has to offer. I'm looking forward to that matchup. I think it's great you're going to the game, Dustin. That will be one of those games at Wrigley on a Friday afternoon. Doesn't get much better than that.
Dustin will be screaming.
I'll be working.
What do you mean you'll be working?
I'm Zach.
You're doing Friday. The pre and post?
I'm Zach on Friday.
Oh,
Zach
that's outstanding.
Zach is Pat, and I'm Zach. No, I don't get to do the fifth inning play-by-play.
No?
But you're actually going to do the pre and post?
I'm going to, yeah.
Wow.
Outstanding.
Working media.
I gotta think about that for a second.
You might have to fire up that Odyssey app while you're out bike riding or something on a Friday.
Wow.
That'll be a lot of fun. Those pre-game and post-game shows.
You've done it. You've did it.
Yes, I've done it. And it's very regimented, and it's very – you have to be really – Zach is terrific at it because he makes it sound so seamless and easy. But there's a lot of like, wait. What sponsor?
Yeah, which page am I on?
Did I get that? What page am I on? Oh, my gosh. It's nerve-wracking. It's nerve-wracking.
That's very happy.
It's much more
– It's happy and good.
It's much more of a challenge – because you have to hit so many marks at the exact time.
So did you move your...
Saturday, I'm going as a fan. Friday, I'm going...
So you were
going
to go Friday
I was,
never?
No. Oh. I was only going Saturday. First game and since you and I were there together.
I cannot
Are you going to be the first guy to ever drink one of those beer bats on the air?
No.
Oh, who does that?
Oh, Zach already did that. Right?
Who else has done that then? Let's have the list.
A beer bat on the air?
Brandon did it, but...
Not on the air.
Not on the air.
Not on the air.
I will have one Saturday if it, like, is around my seat, I guess, yeah.
I can't wait for you on Friday.
You'll find one?
Yeah, you find one.
There'll just be a beer bat sitting there?
You know what I mean. Like,
I'm just kidding.
I don't know if they're in every...
Your neighbor.
If there's, like, a certain spot where those are sold, or if it's multiple spots.
No, it's everywhere. It's everywhere. Are you going to lean into the whole Zach build-up, like, right before they start the first pitch and the last break, and it's... Cubs, Pirates, Pat, Ron, next.
I've heard you do that. You do a nice imitation of it. And I heard you do that on Saturday. You guys went a little long.
Thank you.
And you did an extended one of those leading into Zach.
Thank you for listening.
So I thought, and then I did start getting like a little bit of a sweat on the back of my neck.
It's time for baseball. Cubs, Pat, Ron, next.
Yes. Love it. Every game, it gets you set up. He builds it up. Yeah. It's awesome.
So maybe starting tomorrow, maybe we should have like, I should practice.
We should practice. We should do that. Yeah. And thanks for listening. We had an extra innings inside the clubhouse edition. Went right up to pregame. We built a bridge to the Cubs pregame show with Zach.
I would have listened, but I was at the Blues Fest.
Oh, you were listening to some nice stuff anyway. Yeah. That's a good substitution.
Yeah, it was good. Hey, we got to give a shout out to Courtney Vandersloot. Sad, sad reality. Her season is over. The Sky Guard, the leading scorer in team history, left Saturday's 79-52 loss. And let me tell you, it wasn't that close. To the Indiana Fever in the opening minutes with a painful-looking injury. She had to be helped off the floor. You knew it was going to be bad, and it turned out it was indeed bad. She's out for the year. She blew out her knee. I don't know if that's the end of her 15-year WNBA career. She came back this season and beat her wife's scoring record, Ellie Quigley's scoring record with the Sky. But it's out for the year.
Yeah, it's terrible news.
It's bad news.
Terrible news.
And it really
awful
will impact
injury.
Them. Yeah.
Yeah, and that was a really tough game.
Oh, my God, did they get destroyed?
Chuck and Layla did their best to make it sound.
But, I mean, you know.
Dramatic, and there was a professional broadcast. They did a terrific job, but the play on the court was hard to describe.
Caitlin Clark was out.
She didn't play.
And the head coach, there was a death in the family or something.
Leave of absence.
She had a leave of absence.
Mm-hmm. Stephanie
White.
So
they had a backup coach, and they had to play with the backups to the best player in the league, maybe.
So even at less than their best, they won by 27.
Holy cow.
And it was even more lopsided than the first time.
It was over 30 for a while. Yeah. I mean, it was. Brandon, did you watch any of it? I know you're a big fan.
I did watch it. I turned it off half.
Oh, my God. It was awful.
It was nasty.
How much were tickets for that?
It was awful.
$20.
They got
it went down to 20.
Cheaper.
It was at 25, and then it was 20.
It was at the United Center, and everybody was fired up because Caitlin Clark was coming, and you know there was going to be a full house.
However, I did hear that she did sign a lot of autographs, the fact that if you got there early, signed a lot of fans' autographs.
I heard
like that
she did accommodate a lot of fans,
yes.
That she felt like that was part of the whole deal, and good for her to do that. Because
that is excellent to
you.
Know,
it's good to hear.
I think she understands her role in that league and in the sport.
I think she is the league and the sport. No offense to anyone.
No,
that's
not taken.
Her role.
Not taken. But you got to be careful how loud you say that in Chicago.
Oh, really?
Right? Well, I mean, it's...
Well, you're going to have to do better than a 27-point loss if you want me to change that.
There's no question about it that she is as important to her sport as any professional
question.
Athlete is.
And the very fact that the tickets dropped to $20 it makes Brandon's point. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, we've got Layla. We can ask Layla about it, right? Layla Marshall next, Mullenhall on the Score.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.